Chris,
Marcus,
we are back. It is a little pocket awareness. We are back. You know, we appreciate everybody listening last week. You know, we went through our quarterback list, and of course, we got more quarterback news from the same guys. So it's really kind of the same episode this week. But make sure you follow us on Twitter, ALPA_QB1. That's ALPA_QB1. Make sure you follow us on Instagram. That's ALPA_QB1. Make sure you follow us there. Make sure you hit up, you know, Facebook, A Little Pocket Awareness. Go up, you know, go on Facebook, type in A Little Pocket Awareness, follow us there. Then go ahead and follow me and Chris on Twitter. I am at the Mark John NFL, and that is at King Manelos. Also, subscribe. Leave a review, download on Spotify as well. If you don't got Spotify, go download there. You can listen to Apple Podcasts, wherever you can like podcasts, you can listen to us. So
yes, sir.
Yeah. So how you feeling, Chris? How you feeling, man? I know you feel a lot better.
I've been feeling the same exact way the entire time.
Okay.
The entire time, because this is playing out exactly as I've been screaming about over last episode, and then every episode that ended the season since the end of the season. So, I'm not worried. I'm not freaked out. The man showed up like I told you he would.
Yeah. He showed up. He's ready to play. Yeah, he's going to play another year, and then he's got a new contract, and then he made a crazy demand.
They're still working on it.
Let's talk about his demand first. Let's get there.
So hold on. Just for 2 seconds. Let's just calm down, Marcus. Everybody's got to stay calm. Everybody's got to stay understanding of what's going on here.
Okay. All right, man. So Aaron Rodgers is coming back.
List the so-called demand.
We'll go over everything. So Aaron Rodgers is coming back. He got a new contract, which basically lets him out. Basically, they get to review after this year. So if he balls out again, he's probably going to stay. That's basically what they're saying. Or if they decide they want to move to Jordan Love, he can move on. But he has some crazy demands actually that are happening. They're doing it. It's not that it's crazy, is that it's actually going to happen. He's bringing Randall Cobb with him. So it's not like bringing Gronk, guys. No, it's not like bringing Gronk and AB with him. He's bringing Randall Cobb with him, guys. Randall Cobb. All right. So, Amari Rodgers is there. How'd he get out? Like, they drafted Randall Cobb, didn't they? But whatever. I mean, so they're bringing Randall Cobb back. Get a restructured contract. How do you feel about that, Chris?
Let's start with the contract. So they're still in the process of figuring that all out. What it sounds like is that the 2023 season, so not the season following this one, but the season after that, the third and final year of the contract is going to be a void year. What they're also discussing is a restructure of this coming season's money. And it gives freedom and flexibility to the team. And that was Aaron Rodgers' compromise. To suffice what Aaron Rodgers wants, it's basically what you were talking about, that review. So whatever happens at the conclusion of this year, there will be a review. And either Aaron, you're not happy, go ahead, find somebody in the AFC to have us negotiate with, and we will trade you next year. Or they're going to do a full-on renegotiation of contracts to have him end his career in Green Bay. So that's the contract side of it. And I'm all for that. I'm glad they finally got there. This was something that was bound to happen because Aaron Rodgers, as far as what the contract said, had zero control of what was going to happen to him going forward. These 3 years were structured in a way that if he did have decline, that they could get rid of him without a lot of problems for the organization and what the money could look like on the cap. So this was a way for him to gain control of his future again. And I'm all for that. I'm all about that. I would love to see the season end, a renegotiation and an extension for him, and basically set Jordan Love up for what I would think is the ideal situation. His rookie contract expires and they get to renegotiate with him for basically having his first 5 years as a backup. We can basically put him on a new rookie deal and start that over after Aaron Rodgers retires. So I'm all for it. I'm looking forward to that being the circumstance than what it could potentially be otherwise. But if it doesn't work out, I look forward to seeing Jerry Jeudy and 3 first-round picks next season from the Denver Broncos. I'm a happy camper as far as the contracts are concerned. Now, this rumor has not only been a rumor, it from the Twitterverse, it sounds like it's basically a done deal. Randall Cobb is coming back to Green Bay.
They're renegotiating.
I don't know how. Yeah, there's going to have to be some. There's no money. There's quite literally zero money available for the Packers to bring on that contract. So I don't know what has to happen or how it's going to work out. But if he's coming back, the contract situation is going to be very interesting. The production side of it, though, I'm intrigued because I don't know if you got an opportunity to see this. Did you happen to see what was out there about his season last year compared to the numbers that Alan Lazard put up last year?
Who, Randall Cobb?
Yeah.
No, I did not see that. No, I did not. But Amari Rodgers is there, so I don't
understand. Hold on. They are identical. So the production for Randall Cobb is still at a high level. So you're not bringing in somebody who is not capable of playing any longer. My concern with him is going to be injuries. If he gets hurt, that's where I have a problem. What I do really like about this, and you nailed it there, Amari Rodgers is in the building. They brought him in the building to be the second coming of Randall Cobb for Aaron Rodgers. So what better scenario is there than for Amari Rodgers to learn from Randall Cobb?
See, this sounds like Jason Witten learning from slot in the NFL. I don't like it. I don't like that. I don't like the Randall Cobb. I don't agree with that at all, Chris. The strong arming for Randall Cobb.
Now here's. No, hold on. Listen, he's always loved Randall Cobb, and that's the only wide receiver that's left in the NFL that is one of his boys. You know what I mean? So,
come on, bro, let's bring the boys back.
That's how, if you're going to save face that way, there's a little bit. Yeah. And he was there when Devontae Adams was young. So you could potentially get Randall Cobb in there to pull the strings for the organization to keep Devontae Adams around, signed a brand new deal. You get everybody happy for this season. And they go, you know what? Maybe we could do this for a few more years. It's a win-win in my opinion, but also Amari Rodgers is not going to need Randall Cobb. Like what they're going to do with Amari Rodgers in that offense, you're going to see him. He's the motion guy in that offense. They're going to expand the playbook to make Amari Rodgers a very incredibly dynamic receiver. And I am so excited for what the future brings for him in this offense. And I think having somebody like Randall Cobb in there to kind of chirp in his ear and keep him. I mean, Randall Cobb's the ultimate pro. The ultimate pro, in my opinion. He's not a me guy. He never has been. And to come back to the organization that drafted him and finish his career there, I'm for that. So I'm really excited about what all these compromises are going to be. What I'm not looking forward to are the stupid talking head conversations of who won the battle. Did Aaron Rodgers take the Packers? Or did the Packers take advantage of Aaron Rodgers? Like, why are we going to talk about that? We need the preseason to be tomorrow so that we cannot listen to that for the next month and a half.
Oh, man.
I know you're over there laughing. It's just a silent giggle. But no, I think everything that's going to be happening here is a positive step in the right direction. I'm really looking forward to – the season this year for the Packers.
I mean, the Packers are going to be good, Chris, but come on, man. Randall Cobb, Chris, come on, man. You can't strong arm me for Randall Cobb. I might be mad. I might have said no.
Like, listen, no. he could have strong armed them for Julio Jones. That's $15 million versus like the $2 million it's going to cost for Randall Cobb. Fine, strong arm.
I mean, I would respect Cobb that more. I mean, I would respect strong that
army for Randall Cobb all you want.
They're like, that's okay, fine. Randall,
yeah,
we can rig Randall.
That's an easy concession. Like, if he's going to really, I'm so mad at you. I'm never coming back. What's it going to take to bring you back, Randall Cobb? Done.
It's like, gotcha. Done.
You want Randall? You get Randall.
I wonder if probably like a fifth. I bet they get it for like a fifth or a fourth. They're probably nothing expensive. I bet too.
No, what I want to see, it's going to be a conditional pick, in my opinion. It's a conditional draft pick, and it's a fifth that could be a fourth,
maybe
based on how well he plays. Maybe. Can they eat some of that cap, please? Like, we don't have any right now. Like, we need this whole Rodgers saga and all the restructuring to happen, because next year on the books is a complete and utter chaotic mess. So, whatever. Can we just – I mean, my Bucks took out your Suns.
I know.
Bucks took out your Suns. We got a championship back in Milwaukee, first time in 50 years. Let's run it back here. The Brewers are playing well. Let's see the Packers do it too. We could take what Tampa Bay's been doing. We can take what Tampa Bay's been doing with all them championships. Let's bring it over here into the state of Wisconsin. Yeah, I'm all about that.
My last words on this is I feel like this is history repeating itself. I feel like Aaron Rodgers is gonna throw a pick in the NFC Championship. He's then might retire, threaten to retire.
You know what? That is such an awful, he's gonna get hurt one of these games.
Jordan,
the man has more 40 touchdowns and less than 5 interception seasons than anybody in the world. And you're gonna say it's gonna be on an interception in the NFC Championship?
I'll tell you, he's gonna get hurt midseason. Jordan Love's gonna come in, he's gonna play well. Then he's gonna get hurt. Then Rodgers could do all this all over again. Yeah,
he will.
He could do this all over again, and then they're going to trade him, right? And then he's going to go somewhere, and it's not going to work out, and then he's going to go play in Minnesota. that's how this is going to
work. As long as we get three first-round picks and Jerry Jeudy from the Denver Broncos, I do not care where Aaron Rodgers ends up.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then we can re-sign Devontae, and then our wide receiver core is Devontae Adams, Jerry Jeudy, and Amari Rodgers. Give me that.
I don't know, man. But then you have to watch him throw to Justin Jefferson.
That's what I want.
Season.
That's what I want.
That last 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers.
I don't care.
All right, man. All right, we'll see. We'll see how much he cares.
He can have one. He can have one. That's when he'll throw that interception in the NFC Championship.
Okay, all right.
That's when he'll do it.
All right. That's funny. All right. Let's move on to Sean Watson. Watson, he's back in camp. He's not going to participate, they're saying, but he's
going to.
And he's not getting suspended.
They're going to let the man play.
That is crazy.
Marcus, this is wild. This is absolutely wild. Like, this is like a. This is like a kick in the teeth to women, in my opinion.
A little bit. They're letting it play out. They're trying to let it play out. And there's no criminal charges. Since when
has the NFL ever done that?
Since
when is the NFL? Were there any criminal charges? Ray Rice?
There's a video. Ray Rice, though. That's different. There's a video.
There's video, but she
if there's video of Deshaun Watson, this would be over.
I'm not gonna press charges.
Like, if there was video of all this, bro, it'd be over a long time ago. We wouldn't even be talking about this. He'd be out of the league if there's video. Let's be honest.
Okay. that's fair. That's very fair.
Ray Rice was video, fair. So it changed everything. Because I think Ray Rice was actually known about beforehand, so I think she might have went. This is when the video drops, is when everything changed for him. So, like, yeah, video changes everything.
There was no video on Greg Hardy.
But there was no
video with Greg Hardy.
But that drug out a long way, man. a long time.
They did not convict him, though. They did not convict him.
But yeah, but I mean, I don't know. That's a little different too. He wasn't suspended when it happened. He suspended like 2 years later. So that's what I'm saying. They let it play out. So they're doing the same thing with Watson, I guess.
Okay. All right.
But it's just interesting, man. I mean, if he does get traded, he'll play this year.
It's wild.
And it's only the Eagles right now.
It's wild.
It's Eagles, man. That's what it's looking like.
They're too busy doing hype videos with their new quarterback.
Or here's my different caveat. A quarterback gets hurt, which we haven't been talking about. Quarterback gets hurt in camp. Team gets desperate. A Super Bowl contending team. Let's just say Carson Wentz goes down in camp. What do the Colts do?
Do you see what they're saying about the Colts will never get him? Get out of here. In the division, get out of here.
I'm just saying, he's toxic. A franchise quarterback going down. Let's say Matthew Stafford goes down in camp in preseason or something. Do the Rams
to LA? They don't have anything.
They would have a first pick to 2030.
You heard what the Texans said. They're finally open. The Texans are finally open to hearing offers is the buzz now. And did you hear what their requirement is for those offers? Five draft picks and a starter or potential starter, multiple starters. Five. Nobody's going to pay that price.
You get desperate. I mean, you give
up. LA can't pay that price.
I don't know. You get desperate. Desperation changes everything. I'll just say desperation because Carson Palmer, because this is what happened. With Carson Palmer is when he did his little sit out thing. I don't think he ever would have got traded for if Jason Campbell doesn't go down. Jason Campbell went down. The Raiders were 4-2. Hugh Jackson got desperate. That's basically what happened. Hugh Jackson got desperate. He was in control because Al Davis just died. And he got desperate. And he was like, give me Carson Palmer. I did two first-round picks for him. Everything changes in desperation, bro. I mean, I know Carson Palmer is not the same situation. There's no, toxic background there.
Draft picks, Marcus? Five?
You get desperate, bro. You think you can win the Super Bowl. Your quarterback goes down. Like, the Titans. What if it, like, the, you know, I guess I'm all talking about teams in the division, but, like.
You gotta stay out of the division, man. He's not going to the AFC South.
I'm trying to think of quarterbacks who aren't that like secured in the spot where like because if Matthew Stafford goes down, right? Deshaun Watson, Matthew Stafford.
They're talking Miami too. Miami is one of those organizations that has the ability to pay the price, the bounty that's on his head.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm starting to think that he doesn't play this year because I think he's especially when they dropped in some more news on him. I don't think he plays.
Yeah.
No way.
I don't either, man. Surprised if he does.
Terrible look for the NFL.
That would be a bad look on the NFL. Absolutely. Agreed. Very much so.
Awful. Yeah. So let's go ahead and just get into this, Chris. It's time for that. Final 15 here.
Come on, man. I'm ready for it.
Are you ready for it? Ready for the final 15? All right. So last week we went over the 29 through 16 last week. Chris had a couple of thoughts on a couple of them, a couple of players where I had at different spots. But this week we're going to go through 15 through 1. I'm going to get all the way to 1. We're going to do the same kind of, in-depth talking points, So let's start off, with our back countdown. Let's go over what we did last week. So 29, we had Drew Lock, 29. Then we had Jalen Hurts at 28. And then we had Tua Tagovailoa at 27. Then we had Jimmy G at 26, right? And then we had Daniel Jones at 25, right? Daniel Jones, 25. And then we had I'm sorry, Sam Darnold at 24. Then we had Jared Goff at 23. Then we had Jameis Winston at 22, right? And watch Taysom Hill be the starter. That'd be funny. And then Carson Wentz at 21, which, you know, Chris didn't agree with that one. He's a little shocked. We have Fitzpatrick at 20. We had Cam Newton at 19, which Chris was not a fan of at all.
I didn't like that one.
Ben Roethlisberger at 18, right? Joe Burrow at 17, and then Kirk Cousins at 16. So let's get it started. Let's go to 15. We got Kyler Murray at 15, guys. Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray for the Arizona Cardinals, right? 38 total maybe touchdowns.
Maybe you should have had Kirk Cousins in your top 15.
I don't know. I like I said, I had a little bit of tug of war with these two. So, but I was kind of like, you know what? I would take Kyler Murray over Kirk Cousins if I had to take a quarterback. I would take Kyler Murray over Kirk Cousins. So that's why I got Kyler Murray in the top 15. Kyler Murray, I think he's very, very productive. I mean, he had a great year running the football, over 800 yards, like 11 touchdowns. You know, running the football, had 26 touchdowns through the air. So, I mean, he's a very explosive player, very explosive in the open field, very fast. I mean, he has for like a 4.3 or something like that. He's a very fast player in the open field. And, you know, he's a good thrower of the football. He's very naturally talented, right? So he's good accuracy. Wouldn't say it's great accuracy, but it's really good deep accuracy, right? So he's very good throwing that deep ball. And he's pretty accurate to most levels of the field, and he has a great arm, right? He has a great arm, and he's a pretty good decision maker. He's not bad decisions. I mean, he can have some problems, and you know, with a certain area of the field, which is, you know, just all goes back to him being short. And I think he's always gonna have problems in the NFL because he's short and he's not Russell Wilson. So since he's short and he's not Russell Wilson, he just cannot see the middle of the field well. So he threw 10 interceptions to the intermediate part of the field. So he led the league in interceptions to the intermediate part of the field. And this is a stat that you don't want to lead the league, because like this is like the Blake Bortles, you know, those type of guys, Ryan Fitzpatrick's. Those are the guys who lead the league in interceptions through the years in the intermediate area. So that kind of tells you that he struggles seeing that part of the field. And the reason is because he's short. And that's why he struggles in, you know, to handle pressure, because sometimes he can't see over the pressure. So he has to chuck and duck and hope something's there, right? And he ends up throwing interceptions in the middle of the part of the field. I mean, there's some plays in the Eagles game where he had DeAndre Hopkins wide open over the middle of the field. And he just can't see it. He can't see it, man. I mean, they have to either, two things have to happen. Cliff Kingsbury has to adjust the line to give him passing lanes, right? To give him better passing lanes to throw to. He has to stop drifting a little bit. He still does a little drift that he did in college. He still drifts sometimes. And I think he's drifting to find passing lanes, which causes a problem, right? Mm-hmm. And so they have to help him out a little bit with giving him passing lanes and giving him opportunities to be able to see in the middle of the field, because he really struggles there. And it's always going to be a problem. But I think he's a above average NFL quarterback. I still believe he is. Still very talented. I think you still can win with him. But he's just always going to have the limitation of seeing the middle of the field. You're always going to have that problem with him. It's always going to be there. It was funny. Chris Sims pissed me off, actually, because he said the same damn thing I said, but then ranked him 7.
Oh, no.
Like, how are you?
I didn't see that.
I ranked him 7, Chris, and then said the same thing I just said. So how are you going to say the same thing I said and you see everything that I see and then rank him 7? Like, make that make sense in your head, bro. And so that was my problem. That's more because they're blaming Cliff, which I understand. But you got to look at Cliff's position here, right? You got a quarterback that can't see the middle of the field. So you got two sides of the field, right? That's really all you got. I mean, he could hit you up at the seams a little bit, but he's not hitting no digs. I mean, you're going to call a dig route? Like, I don't know if he's going to see that 19, 18-year-old dig. He's not going to see it. So that's where you got to force DeAndre Hopkins to be outside on the left. So, you know, you see next-gen stats, people are like, oh my God, why is Cliff not using him? No, Cliff knows his quarterback can't see the middle of the field well. That's a lot of it.
He does. I'll tell you what, he does a great job of throwing jump balls to Hopkins, because like I think I saw more prayers go up in the air towards number 10 than anything else when you're calling a play in this offense. Yeah. And you're totally right. He drifts to find passing lanes and he gets himself in trouble with pressure. We discussed it in the past. That offensive line wasn't good enough in the past either, which made it even worse.
Yeah.
Your reasons for giving him number 15 in your list are all about his legs and what he can do running the football.
No. He can throw the football. I'm not saying that he can't throw the football. I'm saying he's limited.
I know he's very, very limited, Marcus.
The middle of the field is a struggle. That's all I'm saying.
When you did 29-16, you know, I completely forgot about Kyler Murray. You know, I didn't realize there were so many other quarterbacks that had issues too.
Yeah.
So now we're getting to 15. It's like, oh yeah, Kyler. He gets 15 because of his ceiling, of his potential. What he actually does on the field, this man needs to be right next to Ryan Fitzpatrick in either 19 or 21.
Yeah. Maybe based on the field. I mean, it is true because I did grade him lower than I ranked him. Let's just say that.
Uh-huh.
I graded him lower than I ranked him. I think that if you build a good offense around him, I think he'll be fine.
I don't think he will be.
And I'll say this, which kind of leads into my next quarterback, but I think he needs to be in a under center system where he could play action and he can have easy lanes to throw over the middle. That's what he needs. And he needs the spread thing that he's doing right now is not going to help him.
When was the last time you think he was ever actually under center? Do you think he really knows how to take a snap?
He knows
how to take a snap very well.
It doesn't matter, Chris. He better figure it out. I think that's the system that would help him as a short quarterback be able to open up lanes so he could see.
Sure. I'm going to agree with you 100% on all that. But there are a lot of other factors that are not going to file suit for him to have that type of success. And here we go. Here's this conversation this season. This is where the line's being drawn in the sand for your good buddy Cliff. When he got hired, here's the conversation that we were talking about.
Yeah.
Back to you want something to do if you're bored, listener, if you're bored and you need something to do with your time, go ahead and take a deep dive. Maybe two seasons ago when Cliff got hired, three seasons ago.
Yeah.
And we had this conversation about Steve Keim as that general manager, what he did with the hire of Kingsbury and what's going on now with our man Kyler Murray, because we talked about this and everything is going to start coming to fruition about what we discussed in the past.
Yeah. I mean, looking back, that was a bad draft class. I'll say that.
Yeah.
very lukewarm. Let's say that. Very lukewarm. All right. Yeah. So that's what I thought about Kyler Murray. Like I said, I think Kyler Murray is a super talented quarterback and you still see the talent there. I just think that he needs a coordinator that is more fit to help him out a little bit so he can win.
Okay.
All right. So let's move on. Let's move on.
14.
We got Baker Mayfield at 14. We got Baker Mayfield at 14, uh-huh. which is a player. This is another player that I was lower on. Because, you know, throughout the season, I've been killing Baker. You know,
you have been killing Baker. I've been nicer to Baker than you have. You've been nicer to Kyler than I have, and I've been nicer to Baker.
Yeah. So, but I, you know, after watching him on tape and watching his season, I think that for that offense that they're in, I think he's going to be a top 10 quarterback. And he's going to look a lot better than we think. I don't know. I don't know if he's ever going to be as good as he actually looks, which is like, you know, people are going to be like, what does that even mean? It means,
I know
that,
what it means.
You know,
it's that talent that's around him. He's got the best offensive line in football, according to a lot of the numbers that are out there.
Yeah.
He's got the best 1-2 punch running back combination in the NFL. He's got Odell Beckham on one side and Jarvis Landry on the other. He's got tight ends that can ball.
Yeah.
The guy has got talent around him that they know exactly how to use. And he's being schemed correctly.
100%. because he is literally elite outside the pocket. You get him on a bootleg, he's elite out there. Like, he has some, his mm-hmm. best throws are him getting out of the pocket. See, the problem is that he has really inside the pocket is Baker Mayfield's all where all his problems exist. Okay? So, like, I mean, he just is how he doesn't like being in there. He doesn't like it. He's one of, like, it's not that he's like terrible in it. He doesn't like being in it. He doesn't like, because we'll talk about it again. He's short. So it's gonna be a theme for this. My theme for short quarterbacks, because he's short too, so he doesn't like the pocket because he can't see all the time. So since he can't see, he likes to get out, because once he gets out and he can see everything, he's pretty deadly, pretty accurate, deadly quarterback, because all his problems are inside the pocket. Doesn't have good mechanics. He widens his base when he throws, so he mm-hmm. misses. He has a lot of accuracy issues, not very accurate. I mean, he had like a completion percentage of like 62% in today's NFL. That's not good. That's like having like a 53 in like the 90s, you know? So,
like Cam Newton, who you put at 19. Okay. Dude, I just got to throw that in there real quick.
You were giving Wentz a mulligan. I'm giving Cam Newton a mulligan. It's fair. It's fair.
Yeah, it's fair. Okay.
The mulligans are fair. Okay.
The mulligans are fair.
So Mayfield. So that's his problem with Mayfield. I think inside the pocket, he has a lot of issues. And, you know, I'll talk about this game, the Jets game. Okay. The Jets game is when they had that COVID issue and they like lost all the wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they lost all the wide receivers. So it was just the run game and the line with him. And he had all mm-hmm. these, you know, ragtag guys. I think he still had Austin Hooper. He still had the other dude.
Higgins on the outside.
No, Higgins was out too. Oh. Higgins was out. They're all out. I don't know what happened. They had like an outbreak at Jets game. But when he went out there, I mean, same line, same run game, but he didn't have the same wideouts. And he didn't look very good. He didn't look very good without the help, without the guys, you know, moving and getting open for him. He just didn't look very good. So I felt bad. I mean, he met this one undrafted free agent guy I've never heard of, was like killing people with routes. And he got like wide open. I was like, Baker, man, you just got that guy cut. Like, he's never going to have a good job again. You just missed a wide open pass. I know it's windy, but like, bro, come on, man. This is this dude's shot. This is his shot. He's wide open for a touchdown for like 60 yards, and you just overthrow him. His career, there goes his career. Like, that was his shot. I was like, I'm so mad at Baker about that, bro. Like, come on, dog. You beat that guy by like 5 yards. He's just like his. But yeah, that's his whole problem, bro. I think inside the pocket, he's got his issues. He has issues kind of reading the field. And of course, he doesn't see blitz as well at all. You know, he's one of those guys that's not very good pre-snap. Everything has to be play action, predetermined a little bit for him to make it happen. But he has a coach for it. It's like,
yes, he does.
This is going to sound terrible if, you know, if you're a listener, but he kind of reminds me of Jake Plummer and Mike Shanahan's offense in the 05-06.
Lord. That is a throwback, Marcus.
Kind of reminds me of that. Kind of reminds me of the Jake Plummer, you know, where it's like, it's like, Jake, what are you doing? But he looks really good and he beats Tom Brady in the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how I feel about Baker Mayfield. But you can win with Baker, though. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think all these guys, you could win a lot. I mean, but you're going to get to a point where they're going to have to win for you to beat like Mahomes. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Well, he almost did.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the closest. Close when Mahomes was in the game.
It was okay. It was like 22-10. Let's not get too crazy, Chris. You're getting a little crazy there.
That was the best game in the playoffs against the Chiefs.
Yeah. Well, besides the Bucks, man. I mean,
Well, no, I'm talking about on the AFC side.
Oh, AFC side. Bowl. That's true. But, you know, that's what I'm saying. I think he's in a great situation where he's going to look better, you know, and people are going to call him a top 10 quarterback when he's really not, because he's going to be winning. Even though I don't know about the Browns winning this year. I mean, they won too many close games and there's too much hype. But
there is a lot of hype. But this is the first time ever. Like,
exactly.
Cleveland, like, they actually get to believe in their football team again. Marcus?
The 2017 Oakland Raiders, bro. I'm telling you. So they are. All right. all right. So 14, Baker Mayfield. You think that's a good spot for him, Chris?
I think that's a good spot. Okay. We'll see. Right. We'll see what you do the rest of the way, though.
Okay. All right. So 13, I got Justin Herbert at 13.
Okay.
Justin Herbert at 13. I think Herbert's a super smart quarterback. I think he's very, very intelligent. I think he's like intelligent than most of these other quarterbacks are that are behind him. And then, you know, I think probably in front of him, he's pre-snap. I think he's better than some of them in front of him too. He's just really good pre-snap. I think he's that's why he didn't get sacked a lot with a bad line. I think that was pretty impressive. I mean, he was able to get the ball out. He would find his check down quick. He had some good processing pre-snap to understand mm-hmm. what was going on. Mm-hmm. So I think he's super intelligent quarterback. I think that's always going to keep him in this range. I don't think he's ever going to fall out of this top 15 range. You know, my question with him is accuracy. With Herbert, is Herbert Matthew Stafford? You know what I mean? Like, is he that guy that's, it's going to look excellent all the time, which we'll get into Stafford a little bit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Where there's a play, it's going to look excellent, you know, but it's going to be time where it's not going to look excellent. He can't hit anything because he still has bad mechanics. He's a heel clicker.
All right. Oh.
So you know what that means, Chris. He's a little bit he's a heel clicker.
Go ahead, give an explanation to the people listening.
So when he gets to the back of his drop and then he steps up, his heels click. Which, that's not good. That means he's just if you're at home, just do that motion. Just do a motion of like, you know,
your heels coming together.
Your heels coming together and then trying to take your heels to throw it again. It's not gonna work. You know, he still has the same accuracy issues he had in college. He just had Mike Williams, Hunter Henry, and Keenan Allen instead of some guys I have no idea who still plays over here. I don't know who those guys are.
And I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
The defenses that he was playing against, the concepts that were being thrown at him. You and I did not think very highly of him coming out of Oregon as the like he was not our one. He wasn't even our two.
Yeah.
Did the defenses have that same kind of mindsets that he was playing against? Was it a lot of basic standard defensive fronts?
No. I think they tried to come out. I mean, because he was the whole team. That's what I give him credit for. I mean, they couldn't run the ball. You know, they had terrible.
They threw. Game. I mean, he was throwing 50 times a game.
He was throwing 50 times a game, right? He threw the ball 600 times. So I think they threw a lot at him. I think in the middle of the year he struggled. Like the Patriots game, he was awful. Like they threw everything at him, and he was pretty bad. Then they lost 45-0 because of it. Like his YPA was like 3. You know what I mean? Like he really struggled that game. He really struggled that game. And he just because that's what happens is, you know, if he can't get his feet set. Or, you know, and things go wrong. It was like he was more accurate with this, making his crazy throws. When, like, you know, like the throw against the Bucks that everybody talks about, where he threw the ball like 70 yards under pressure, falling back. You know what I mean? Like it was throws like that that caught your eye. Mm-hmm. But it's like when he was like had the chance to like be perfectly set, he would just miss it. Like he had this throw against the Falcons where he like throws it into the stands over Keenan Allen's head. And I'm like, bro, like it's down-to-down accuracy. Nobody talks about that with him, though. Everybody just talks about, because, you know, they're so, like, with him, it's such an overreaction because they all thought he was going to suck.
Right.
They all thought he was going to suck. But they forgot how smart he is, which we didn't realize that. He's super smart. I think he's going to pick up this offense that he's coming in pretty quickly. I think it's going to be a crappy offense, though, because Joe Lombardi almost ruined Matthew Stafford. So I don't know what to tell you. This the NFL, these hiring, man. I don't know. I guess Staley was like, let me bring in Joe Lombardi. I don't know what was, but I don't get it, man. With these young quarterbacks, I feel like that offensive coordinator is like paramount to like your decision making. I don't know.
Oh, absolutely,
Joe Lombardi. And but you know, he's gonna pick up the offense really quick. He's gonna know what to do. He's gonna know the checks. He's really good pre-snap protections. He's gonna get even better there. So I think he's always gonna be a good quarterback. I just don't know if he's gonna be elite because that accuracy issue. And I mean, he's gonna have to fix that. If he could fix his accuracy, then that's great. Because I mean, he had a average depth of target last year of like 7.8 on PFF, right? And that was 20th in the NFL, and he had a completion percentage of like 66%. So it kind of tells you, Chris, that he's not the most accurate quarterback in the world if he's dinking and dunking mm-hmm. and still has a lower completion percentage. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts, Chris?
I think that's a good spot for him. I get why you've got him ahead of Baker, just because of a lot of the things that Baker gets the help with, Herbert doesn't.
Yeah.
So I can see why you got those two flipped there. He took me by surprise last season. We discussed it on multiple occasions. He is, you could put him anywhere from 10 to 15, and I'll tell you, hashtag we'll see the entire way. Yeah. Just because I gotta see more for him. Just like some of these other names that are gonna come up later, you might get a few hashtag we'll see's, and we're gonna have these guys listed in the top 10.
Yeah. I think Herbert's always gonna be around this range. I do think he's just a little overrated. I think he's a little bit overrated because his film's not great. It's good. You know what I mean? So since it's,
well, that's,
you know,
three in a row. That's three in a row, Marcus. That's three guys in a row where you've got them based off of their film. You would not have them in their position. There's two ceilings. You're putting them in their place and ceiling, and then the one that's sandwiched in between them, you're putting them there because of scheme. So,
well, Herbert, I think I graded him higher than some of these other guys, but I lowered it down because I'm hashtag we'll see, because the accuracy is it, because you to be elite in this league, you got to be accurate.
Sure. Yes, absolutely.
You know, I did a scale of seven, like, so I did 1 through 7 for accuracy, 7 being the most. You know, so, you know, going down from 1 to 7, sure, and I ranked him a 4. You know, all the guys that I have that are elite, they're 5s and up.
Absolutely.
Right. So
as they should be.
You know what I mean? All right. So let's keep it going. Let's keep it moving. Let's move through these a little quicker here. So number 12, I got Derek Carr at 12.
Your boy.
I got
probably the most time than anybody who's been under your eye.
Yeah, I Derek Carr 4. I think Carr took a lot of huge steps last year. I think he, you know, he was way better post snap than he usually is. You know, he's awesome pre snap all the time. I mean, he's probably one of the best guys at setting protections in the league. You know, so I mean, he showed a lot of growth. You know, a lot of anticipated better. He just played a whole lot better. You know, threw the ball deep a lot more. Showed off his good arm. And he did a lot of things there that to show that, you know, he's growing with John Gruden. I think they're fixing his mechanics a little bit. He's more accurate since Gruden's got there. I still think he's shaky. I think he's shaky intermediate-wise, especially outside the numbers. Middle of the field, he's awesome intermediate. I think he still has a little bit of a, you know, when he throws outside the numbers, it still gets a little shaky. It's not very clean. He can be hit or miss. He can overthrow somebody. It could be bad sometimes from outside the numbers to intermediate. But deep passing is great. You know what I mean? But, you know, Carr is always going to have the same issues that he always has. Pocket presence. I mean, it's better than before. But I mean, he just doesn't feel natural there all the time. I feel like he's trying to have pocket presence. It's like, it's my best explanation.
I like that.
It's like he's trying right in his hardest to stay strong in the pocket. Like he's thinking about it. Like he's mentally, I'm going to stay strong. It's not like it's a natural thing, a natural feel. And that's why the fumbles happen and stuff like that, because he's attempting his hardest to kind of stay in there, step up, you know, do the right things that you're supposed to do in the pocket, be fearless. You can feel like he's trying to do that. And then it causes issues with him. Cause like, you know, sometimes when he steps up, like sometimes he'll step up and it's like, it's not sideways. It's like forward. And then he tries to get back in. You know what I mean? It's like, he's like running. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. It's absolutely.
It's spot not like on. A natural.
It's
like
absolutely a, spot on.
It's not like a natural slide up. It's like he's running up to like.
Yeah.
And then he has to reset because he's running up. So he's running up and then he resets and then he'll miss. Like he threw a pick doing that. He's avoiding the pressure, but like, yeah, if you can't throw the ball, you know, facing the guy
from that position.
And then you gotta reset and then your feet are off, and then you're just missing a throw and you're throwing a pick. So
hip, shoulders, feet. hands, everything's not in the right spot.
Yeah, you can't step up that way. So, but it's getting better, though. I think he handles pressure a lot better than he did, like, let's say 2017, even his best year and you know, considered his best year. I still think this is his best year on film, in my opinion. I mean, might not be his best year statistically, but I think on film, this is his best year. And you know, that's why I got him at 12, and he's not much of a playmaker, but the playmaking goes back to like not having the natural feel in the pocket. It's like last year it felt like he was trying to be a playmaker, you know what mm-hmm. I mean, like it's not natural for mm-hmm. him to just start making plays on the fly, you know what I mean. But I still think he needs to stop trying to be a playmaker, in my opinion, and just play from the pocket, bro. You don't have to be like these other guys. You don't have to, like, you could just play from the pocket. It's okay. Like, you don't have to chase these other dudes and what they're doing. Like, play from the pocket and be good there. I don't know.
Play your game. No, I like that. I like him here at 12 too. I think he's one of the guys that you consider a veteran in the league who's actually improving like a rookie would.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would agree with you with his position. I think he's one of the few guys in Oakland in Las Vegas under John Gruden that is seeing progress in his career. One of the few.
Yeah, because what I'm worried about is that he's going to leave and be really good because he's on that trajectory. Just the way he played like the other year, like if he stays aggressive like that, he's going to be really good. He'll keep moving up, you know, if he keeps playing that way. But it's just saying, like, the pocket presence is never going to be there, and then the intermediate accuracy is always my problem with him a little bit. That's still not never going to be there. But that's improved too, because his mechanics have improved. I mean,
well, I think that there's a piece where you're missing the talent around him has improved also. Waller makes that intermediate area a big deal. I think a healthy Ruggs is also going to do the same thing for him. So I see another year of growth for Carr, and hopefully he can feel a little bit more natural as he moves around back there.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Ryan. Up next, I got Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah. Tannehill at 11.
I got Tannehill at 11. Now, Tannehill is a guy. Chris, Tannehill is a guy that I did not like on tape. Okay. I did not like him. I didn't like what he was doing. But I took a step back. And I was like, okay. Well, I mean, he does run this offense really well. He's played really well 2 years in a row, you know, and the tape's not bad. It's just, he's just the same guy as he always was. So I guess it's kind of just like my viewpoint of him is still the same, because he hasn't changed. He's not a different guy than he was in the Dolphins. He just had AJ Brown and Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith and Derrick Henry. Yeah, that's the difference between him in Miami and him now. That's the difference. He's still the super slow processor. Everything's super slow with him. You know, we always talked about that. It's like, okay, here's the first read. Oh, I got to get to the second one. And it's everything's just super slow-mo, and everything's just that he's getting hit or sacked. So he was in the perfect offense where he just had a play action. He turned around. He didn't have to process too much, and he just threw it deep. And he's super accurate. He's one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the NFL. So he puts the ball wherever the hell he wants to put it. He's great accuracy outside the numbers. He's great accuracy over the middle. He's great accuracy deep. It's when he's a pure dropback passer, he just processes so slow, it's hard for him to get through everything. And by the time he processes, he gets sacked or, you know, things like that. And he's not much of a playmaker either. You figure with his athleticism, he doesn't get the crap Carr gets for like not being, you know, not using his athleticism, because he scores 7 touchdowns in the red zone. They use his athleticism in the red zone, but like he doesn't like roll out and like make plays with his legs like he could with his athleticism.
He's not much of a playmaker.
It's all design. So he's not much of a playmaker, but you know, he's still the same slow processor. He's good pre-snap. You know, he's a good pre-snap processor. Gets everything set up pre-snap, but it's just, you know, the post-snap processing is never going to be there for him. He's still going to be the same slow processing guy. He's just in a great situation. Now he got Julio.
That only got better, Marcus.
Yeah, so he's always
going to. It's going to get even easier for him. It's going to get even easier for him.
But Todd Downing is his offensive coordinator, who was terrible in his time in Oakland. He runs like a high school offense. But to be fair to Todd Downing gets jobs by convincing coaches he's going to run the offense that was previously there. So, you know, he convinced Jack Del Rio, I can run Bill Musgrave's offense. And Bill Musgrave's offense wasn't really good schematically. Since it wasn't very good schematically, here comes Todd Downing, who wasn't, and it made it worse. So he's probably going to try to do what Arthur Smith did. I'm sure this is how he got the job. I just do what Arthur did. We're not going to change a lot. You know, we're going to do the same concept, same things.
Well, they really should. They really should. Because now they can't, you can't get the box stacked against Derrick Henry. You just absolutely cannot.
Oh, they won't care. They'll box it. They'll stack it. They won't care.
You're gonna go one-on-one on the outside with A.J. Brown and Julio Jones.
They'll take a chance. They'll rather stop. Because, I mean, the whole offense is Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry had 378 carries, so that's kind of dumb to kind of back up. You know, you'd rather take that chance. I mean, that's the chance you got to take. You got to stop Henry first to stop that offense. So, but I got Tannehill at 11. I still think Tannehill's playing well. I just think he's kind of the same guy as in Miami. So if it got to the point where he had to drag some mediocre wide receivers, the Titans would be in trouble. But I still think they're going to regress a bit because I think Todd Downing's terrible. So,
wow, you think they're going to regress?
Yeah, because he's awful. He is, man. He's just terrible. I don't know. He's just one of those guys that keeps getting a job for no reason. All right, so let's keep moving, Chris.
All right, here we go. Top 10.
Yeah, let's go. All right, let's start up with Matthew Stafford. We got Stafford at 10.
Oh, you put him right at 10.
You got Stafford right at 10. All right, Stafford is
going to have to show me something for the first time in his career.
What is Matthew Stafford? Matthew Stafford's
Matthew team. Stafford is a career. I can only beat sub 500 teams.
Out of
career.
I mean, that's the journalistic way of looking at it, Chris. But you know, from the film way of looking at it is interesting because it's like you watch him and he just makes the most amazing throws you've ever seen, especially like on dig routes, bro. Oh my God, he has some of the best throws I've seen on tape this year. Like he has this throw against Atlanta that I have no idea how I had to rewind the tape because I couldn't figure out how he fit it in there. I couldn't figure it out, and he has throws like that all over his tape. And you know, he's pretty good. He's pretty good post snap too, man. He's pretty good processor snow snap. It's just like, why aren't you better? The guy on PFF podcast said that. It's like, man, you're just so good, but like, why aren't you better? What is missing? You know what I mean? Like,
did you find it?
It's hard to figure out. I think what it is. I think pre snap he's really bad for like how old he is. He doesn't see blitz very well. He doesn't, you know, doesn't diagnose things with his line, like and he's not a playmaker either, you know what I mean? So he doesn't have any playmaking ability, and so everything that he doesn't do post pre-snap messes him up. So he's kind of like an old school quarterback. So if you watch 90s football, you know, Brett Favre is not like doing checks with the line. He's like, oh, 5-0 at the protection. You know, Brett Favre is just like, snap me the ball. I know the concept. Snap me the ball. I don't care what coverage it is. Snap me the ball. I'm going to read the concept. We'll be fine. You know what I mean? And I think that's kind of how Stafford plays. I think Stafford has kind of like, snap me the ball. I'm going to read the field. I'm going to find the open guy and I'm going to make the right decision. But it doesn't work that way in today's NFL. There's too many things happening.
Yeah.
There's too many things happening for you to play that well. You got to diagnose things pre-snap. Like he had a bad pick. I mean, Darrell Bevell didn't help him out too much last year. They kept running dagger concept, which is like a dig and a seam, right? They can't run that all the time, but like he threw this pick to Harrison Smith where like, you know, you have to see Harrison there, bro. Like, he's creeping to you. I mean, you've been in the league for like 12 years. You got to see safety's creeping at you. You know what I mean? Like, it's things like that. It's like he makes boneheaded mistakes too. And he's always going to miss a throw that he shouldn't miss in a game that
right he shouldn't miss. Right at a critical moment. Yeah. Yeah. That was his career in Detroit in a nutshell.
So it's like him being 10, 11. We talked about this earlier, like 10, 11, 12. You know, right around there. That's where he's at. That's Matthew Stafford's area. He should be better.
He's always been right there.
You know, I do want to say, I think Sean McVay is a little overrated. I think play call wise, I don't think like last year, I think teams started to figure him out. Like he wasn't able to help out Goff as much. So I think that's why he got Stafford. Cause I think Stafford, he thinks Stafford's going to bail him out more than Goff could. I'm being
honest. Okay. All right, that's fair.
That's just God's honest truth with that one, man. I just feel like Stafford, but Stafford's good though, man. I feel bad kind of ripping him a little bit, but he's a good quarterback. He just should be top five to me.
But he's like, 10.
But he's 10.
But he's 10.
But he's been like 10, 13 his whole career. You know what I mean?
Yes, he has. Yes, he has.
Some NFL exec rated him 4. You see that?
I did not.
They said he was 4. Chris. Anyway, let's keep moving. Let's keep going. Oh, man. All right. So number nine is Matt Ryan. I got Matt Ryan at 9. I thought Matt Ryan has some very impressive. I mean, Matt Ryan's just good, bro. He's just a good old school, you know, pocket passer. He's just good at everything. He makes good decisions. He's pretty good accuracy wise. Sometimes he can miss some throws. You don't want him to. I thought he played really well down the stretch last year. He made some great throws, made some very highlight throws of him and Calvin Ridley. I think even if he played with some lesser players that, you know, didn't always have the Calvin Ridley type or the Julio Jones, I think he'd still be all right. I think he'd still be able to make do. He just hasn't had the best around him in Atlanta. I mean, you know, sometimes they have good defense, sometimes they have terrible defense. I mean, when they had decent defense, he was able to take them to the playoffs pretty regularly when they played good defense. So, does Matt Ryan need help? Is he going to be an elite quarterback to kind of just like take your team to the promised land by himself, which I don't think really exists anymore, to be honest. But not today's NFL with a passing league.
No.
When they stop passing, I don't think you can't just John Elway it till the Super Bowl.
I agree with you.
So, he's just a good, steady quarterback. That's why I have him at 9. I think that he, with these other guys, I think he's just a steady veteran. And a lot of the issues that he might have, I mean, like I said, his accuracy and then, you know, decision-making and a couple of those things. And you know what surprised me about Matt Ryan, Chris, is like how much of a playmaker he kind of was last year. That's what kind of – he showed some good movement, a lot of athleticism. That shocked me a little bit.
I've always been impressed with him in the pocket and the way that he's able to maneuver around in there.
Yep.
He was big for him coming out of college too, when it was him and Flacco. And they were just talking about and comparing the two of them. They liked him better because he wasn't as stoic back there as Flacco was.
I really like Matt Ryan. I think he's gonna have another good year. He's gonna keep being him. You know,
I do. I agree with you.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
I like him there at 9. All right, Chris. Let's keep moving. We got number 8. We got Lamar Jackson at 8.
Okay, I figured you'd have him here between 6 and 8.
Okay, all right. I got Lamar Jackson at 8. Okay. I think Jackson, you know, of course he's the ultimate playmaker.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
It's interesting how much they
run the ball a lot.
Walking 6 points. And I mean, they run the ball a lot. So, I mean, that offense is a running offense, right? It's not built to pass. They're not trying to pass the football. They are trying to run the ball down your throats. There's a lot of design quarterback runs. There aren't zone reads. Like they run QB counter a lot. So, and like quarterback power. So like they're a pure running football team, kind of a college offense. If you think about it. And I think that kind of limits him a little bit of what he could do. Cause I'm interested to see how, if he was in an actual passing offense, I'm interested to see how he would play. You know,
I got this for you here. This little piece that I want to bring up.
Okay.
His offensive line was in shambles last year.
Yeah.
Left tackle went down, right tackle moved to left tackle. The right side of the offensive line was miserable. And then his center forgot how to snap a football, like quite literally forgot how to snap a football.
Yeah.
So I think that they oversimplified the offense and ran the ball as much as they did, literally to keep Lamar upright, to protect him, because in the passing game there was no time for him to make a decision and to be able to go through some of those concepts that they wanted him to, or that even he wanted to.
Because
when we had him graded out of college, the man wants to throw the ball. He's not somebody that's going to sit there and run first. We established that from the beginning. The guy wants to throw the ball. He's elite, in my opinion, across the middle of the field. And I'm curious what the tape said
100%
for that
100%.
And then I'm sure what you saw is what we've been talking about from the beginning is the boy struggles outside the numbers.
Yep.
On an immense level. Yeah. So when you got an offensive line that can't even give you the actual protection that you need, and what we're talking about here is half a second, maybe a full second, but even that, like in NFL time, that's all day. And I don't think Lamar's getting the opportunity to run the passing offense the way that he wants to.
Yeah, I agree with that too. I think he does have his accuracy issues still. I mean, it's mostly outside the numbers. You're right. I mean,
sure.
It's 100% outside the numbers. Middle of the field, he is elite. I mean, he really doesn't miss in the middle of the field. He doesn't miss there, you know. But I think his biggest issue as a passer right now, Chris, is that he doesn't check down. He like refuses. And that's what the Bills did to him. So, you know, that's just funny. Like people are like, oh my God, the playoffs, it doesn't work, whatever, whatever. It's not about him not being able to pass. Is that, bro, I mean, if they're giving you the check down, you got to check it down. And
go ahead. Hollywood Brown was wide open. Like there's no reason Baltimore should have lost that game. To be quite honest. But I see what you're saying.
He just doesn't. Like I rarely saw him hit this check down. And that's what Buffalo was doing. They played cover two. Like, okay, so you guys like to throw deep, you like to run the football. We're gonna play cover two, we're gonna stop the run, and then we're gonna stop you from throwing deep, and you're gonna beat us by 1,000 paper cuts. And he refuses. Mm-hmm. Since he refuses, and it's not like he like runs around like an idiot, he's gonna stay in the pocket and try to find something big.
But you want to talk about pocket awareness? Lamar's got pocket awareness.
Yes, he does. The Titans touchdown in the playoffs. I mean, that was all pocket awareness. And then he ran 50 yards.
Yes.
So, Lamar's really good. I a lot of people give him slack for not being able to throw. But like I said, I mean, he has accuracy issues. Yes. But I think that in the playoffs, his problem is that teams play him. He's playing better defenses, and teams are going to, if they don't think you check down Lamar, they're going to make you check down. And that's really, really a lot of.
Well, I'm excited for what this offensive line is going to bring him this season, because I think they're very much improved there. They added Sammy Watkins. They drafted Bateman. You got strengths with Andrews in the middle of the field as a tight end. You're going to get your big blocking tight end back from injury. J.K. Dobbins is turning into a top 10 running back in the league. So I'm excited for what the Ravens are going to do. And I think 8 is going to be his worst ranking for the next few years.
I think so, too. All right, so let's keep moving. I think I'm going to be lower than other people on this guy than a lot of other people. But I got Josh Allen at 7.
Oh.
I got Josh Allen at 7 because I just can't put someone in the top 5 after 1 year. I can't do it. I couldn't do it, Chris.
I couldn't. Marcus, I'm so glad you didn't. I'm so glad you didn't. This is the, with a capital T-H-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E, the hashtag we'll see. He is. Because I'm curious how he's going to play now. After the way that last season went for him, after all the highs, I'm curious how he's going to play. I need 2 more years. Give me 3 in a row.
you need 2 more?
I need 2 more. I need this season and I need next season.
I think he had a top 5 season for sure. I mean, maybe even top
3. Agreed.
Top 4, right?
Agreed. I mean, he was in the MVP conversation.
Yeah, but you just can't, to me, like if you had him in the 20s last year, you just can't jump him all the way to 5.
Agreed.
But I think 7 is a good spot for him. I thought his tape was excellent. I mean, he had excellent tape, Chris. His tape was awesome. I mean, it was pretty legit, elite football tape. I mean, for a quarterback, I think he played at an elite level last year. He did. And that's why, you know, my ranking, you know, is probably, you know, people would be like, oh my God, you got him at 7 though. But like, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it because I just got to see it, you know, play. To put you as an elite quarterback, I think elite means multiple seasons.
Yes. Because,
you know what I mean?
Like yes.
Matt Ryan had an elite season, but I would never say that Matt Ryan's elite. He had an elite year, though, but I would
he's
never
had a,
say
he's
that.
He's had a few sprinkled in there.
Yeah, but I mean, I wouldn't say that. You know what I mean? So I think it's just more about consistency at elite level before I tell him to top 5. But I mean, his tape was fantastic. He's awesome pro snap, dude. He's pretty he sees the field really well. That's why
you,
Go ahead.
Here's the thing about having a live arm with the potential to be accurate with it. I think it was the most accurate season he ever had.
Yes.
Not in just his NFL career, his entire life, Marcus. They looked at the statistics from college. They even busted out some of his high school stats. This is the first year that he threw above 65%.
Yeah. It's because his mechanics are totally fixed. I don't know. He's insane driller to fix his mechanics like that, because it is night and day. So since he's fixed his mechanics, allows him to be accurate, allows him to use that crazy arm. He's an elite playmaker, I think he's still a crazy decision maker. I think he has this problem with pre-snap. I still think, like, pre-snap, he sees the blitz. I don't think he cares.
We talked about this before.
Yeah.
He's so Big Ben-esque. Like, he's confident that the first guy that gets to him isn't going to be the one that brings him down.
100%. And, like, it kind of caught up with him against the Chiefs, because, you know, the Chiefs kept kept coming after him with the blitzes and stuff, and they're getting to him. And but he feels like that he just can break a tackle and then he'll make a play. And then him and, you know, you bring up Big Ben, him and Diggs have that Ben and AB type of thing where, like, if he's not open or nobody, the concept's not working, where is he going? He's looking for Diggs. It's like, it doesn't even matter what the concept is. He's go. I mean, the Colts game is a perfect example. They run spot to one side, so the spot's not there. So where does Allen go? He just shifts all the way to the other side, flips his feet, gets perfect, you know, mechanics, and throws a dime for a touchdown. And he does that with Diggs all the time. Like, they have this kind of, and I don't know how they got it so quick, but they have like an innate connection that is like pretty legit. And that's why I think he's probably going to be in this area again. But I was just like, okay, let me see it again. But I still think he has a little bit of problems of that problem of that Big Ben, like, I'm going to take over the, you know, you can't sack me, you know, it's going to catch up with them, like some fumbles and stuff, like in the playoffs, able to recover them, but he had some bad fumbles trying to do that. Like, you're not going to take me down. Like, you know, he's holding the ball out and then he fumbles, and, you know, he fumbled, 10 times last year. So he does have some fumble issues still there, but his tape was awesome. I'm not gonna lie. It was pretty fantastic, bro. So it was legit. It was legit.
I'm agreeing with you there, man. That was a hell of a season.
Okay. All right. Let's try. Still going on. Let's try to get to these quicker here. So I got Prescott at six.
Maybe you should have put Allen in.
Now, Prescott is a great quarterback, Chris. All right. Prescott's tape is terrific. He has really fantastic tape. He's really great pre-snap. Like, he's one of the top pre-snap quarterbacks in the NFL. His arm, I don't know what happened. I don't know. The mechanics that he works on, I guess it's give him arm strength, because he has a damn good arm. And he's damn accurate too, to the intermediate part of the field. He's a great anticipation, anticipates really well. He has great movement in the pocket, really good pocket presence, great movement. He's a great pocket passer. He's not really a playmaking type of guy. He's not really like, I'm going to bounce and try to make a play, or I'm going to spin around in a circle. He's going to work the pocket. He's going to navigate. I had a play I posted on Twitter. But kind of like maximize everything I like about Prescott. You know, Aaron Donald ended up kicking some dude's butt, right? And, he's about to get pressure on it. And, you know, Dak Prescott just slides a little bit to his right, you know, throws to his check down on the out route. His check down gets 20 yards. You know what I mean? It's just things like that. Like, he's just a really, really good quarterback. I just think his main problem is, which, you know, it's just, I think he's too aggressive. Does it sound crazy? People are going to be like, what does that even mean? I think
that's kind of hints of crazy.
I think he's literally, for how bad that defense is, he just throws into traffic a lot, because he feels like he can anticipate everything. So he's at that point where he thinks he's Kurt Warner, where he can anticipate a window so well that he could fit the ball anywhere. And it got to the point where, you know, the Browns game, when they were down 41-14 because of some of that crap, you know what I mean? Like, he wasn't able to move the football because he was trying to fit it into these tight windows, and the Browns were anticipating the windows and they were jumping them. And there's a touchdown against Amari Cooper. I don't remember. You remember that touchdown? It was like super tight. I remember, you've probably seen it. It was like a slant.
Yeah, well, he had no business coming up with that ball. Yeah, I remember that.
But you know, you have to understand how well he anticipated that, bro. He was throwing the football before, like, Mark Cooper even started to, like, get into his rocker step to beat it. So he's already starting to throw the football. So he anticipated that like crazy, and that's why he was able to fit it in there. But like, if he just mistimed it by a little bit, it's a pick.
Other way.
So, yeah. Right. So that's probably my only like thing with Prescott. And I think that's why they have a little trouble of winning, is because he is so aggressive. Like, I really think he's probably the most aggressive quarterback in the NFL. Like right now, I feel like he's just, it's weird how aggressive he is. It's, you know, cause you know, Mahomes would probably get that, you know, but Mahomes is not aggressive like he is. Like, Prescott has some crazy tight window throws that eventually started to catch up with him. And like, and as the guy across, you know, when he plays better teams, I mean, he threw like 11 picks the year before too, which is, it just, I mean, you said it's not a lot, but in today's NFL, throwing 11 picks is not like, is something, you know.
If you're going to throw 11 picks, you better have 35 plus touchdowns.
Yeah. I mean, he did have 30, but I mean, 35 plus, but I think he's just a little bit of a psycho, and, you know, I like it. I like watching it. It's fun to watch, but I think that I think he has to tone it down a little bit for today's NFL.
That makes a lot of sense for why their record is always the way that it is, and why that in those bigger games, they come out on the wrong side of it. You get, we talked about it with Drew Locke, like all the way back when we were talking at 29.
Yeah.
There's aggressive in moments, and then there's aggressive all the time. And it's just, it leads to trouble.
Yeah.
You got to be able to find your moment. And it doesn't sound like, from what you saw, that Dak is finding those moments.
Yeah, I mean, you just can't be that super, that aggressive when your defense can't stop anybody.
Because
if you make a pick, or if you fumble because you're trying to hold the ball so you can make that aggressive throw.
Or third and four, and they jump your aggressiveness.
Things like that.
It's an incomplete pass, and you got a punt, and your defense isn't going to make a stop.
But when he hits it, man, it is pretty. Like the throw against the Falcons, bro. He has his throw against the Falcons where he like splits the linebackers, but like it's just like insane. And it is like the tiniest window. He just fits it in there because he anticipated it. He threw it before the guy broke on the dig. And since he threw it so early, and he threw it so accurately, right on the money where the dude was in stride, like the guy even thought he was gonna get hit when he was catching it. That's how tight the window was. And it's just like the tight window throws are insane. So I just think his tape is way better than his performance of what actually happens out there. And that's why he's not getting the love. Also, he plays for the Cowboys, so everybody hates him. So all his L's are on national TV. So every time he doesn't play.
Yes, they are. You're
right on the big
magnified
screen.
Yeah, it's magnified. You're completely correct.
Yeah, so I think that's why a lot of people are lower on him than he actually is playing. But all right, Chris, let's keep moving here.
Top five, Marcus.
Which I think you can kind of see where this is going. I got Russell Wilson at five. You know, he was a lot higher last year. If you were like thinking about like ranking them, you probably put him two last year, right? At the end of the year.
Calm down.
I know you wouldn't, because you're, you know, you love Rodgers.
He could definitely be four.
Oh, he was three. I would definitely go four. Come on, Tom Brady did not play better than Russell Wilson in 2019.
All right, three.
He was three, at least. Okay?
I'll give you three.
He fell to five for me because, you know, Russell's great, man. I went and watched him. I went and watched his second playoff game where he led that comeback, bro. Like, Russell is a great quarterback, bro. It's just like when it's clutch time and you need him to make some throws, he's going to make them. You know what I mean? Like, he's one of those guys. Mm-hmm. He's clutch. He's great post snap. You're not gonna be able to confuse him that much. You know, he's gonna make all the reads. He's gonna do all the great things. He's gonna make plays, and you know, he's a really good decision maker, right? I think last year though is where we kind of saw maybe not. I don't want to say this. The start of maybe a fall for him. One reason I would say this is because I don't think he's as athletic as he used to be. And
well, all the hits he's taken is catching up to him.
Yeah, yeah. I think a lot of that's on him too, especially last year. Last year,
sure.
Most of it, maybe years before, no. But last year, most of his sacks were on him. But that's kind of where I'm going with this, is that he's not as athletic as he used to be. Like, just going back and watching 2012 when he was a rookie and how lean he was kind of was and how athletic he was, right? Super athletic looking guy, right? Now he can't move as well. So he's not going to be able to get out the pocket and run for 500 yards like he used to. He's getting older in that sense. So he has to be more of a pure pocket passer as he grows older. And I don't know if he's ever going to be able to do that. I don't know if he's ever going to be a pure pocket guy. Because
he can't see either.
I know he can't. I know he can't, but he's better at not being able to see and finding lanes the other guys are. Because that's how he's been good. That comes to a good point here, Chris, okay? Because you talk about he can't see either. So what happened at the end of last year is, like, you know, they went into that super, we're going to throw all the time. You're going to throw the ball 600 times. You're Russell Wilson. Yeah. Awesome. He threw 30 touchdowns in like 10 games, right? Like, oh, my God.
Let Russ cook.
Right? And what happened is teams started to adjust. So the one thing that Brian Schottenheimer did, I talk about lanes, right? Brian Schottenheimer would open up lanes with the line. So the line would slide in certain areas where they would open up lanes for him to throw easy balls, okay? Mm-hmm. And it was working, bro. He threw like 30 touchdowns. I don't know if they did this the year before. I didn't really go that depth the years before, but this year they're opening up lanes. So guess what team started doing, Chris?
Shut the lanes down.
What do you think they did? Started blitzing through them.
Yeah.
They blitzed through those lines. So and he is bad pre-snap. I don't know what it is. I don't know what he's doing. He's a John Elway type, I guess. He's like, he could just play, but he's really bad pre-snap. He's like, he's not Drew Lock or anything like that. It's kind of shocking how bad he is there.
Interesting.
Like they're going to blitz you, Russ. Get rid of the ball. You can't, you know, but he's still trying to like make a big play. And then he's trying to like spin out of it or, you know, instead of just like hit your hot read. Just hit your hot read, Russ, you know, hit your hot, man. Don't throw hot, bro. They're blitzing you.
He's never known how to throw to a tight end
or anything or hot or anything. You know what I mean? So that's his biggest issue going forward, I think. I think that's going to be a problem for him. Like, he's getting older. He's not going to be able to move as much. And he's not a pre-snap processing guy. So teams are going to start blitzing him. And they're going to start playing too high because he can't see the middle of the field. Because that's what happened. It's like they stopped passing. They weren't running as much, right? So he wasn't seeing the box and the straight up, you know, man-to-man, single high, where I could just throw it over the top and, you know, it's man-to-man because we're running the football. Team started playing too high. So like the Giants game, he was awful because they played too high the whole game and they just let him have the middle of the field. And of course, he can't see that well. He can't see the middle of the field that well. So they just left the middle of the field open and they played the outsides and he was completely shut down. And they would blitz through the lane that he opened up. He would blitz and he's getting sacked and he's throwing picks and he's fumbling and whatever, whatever. And teams just kept doing that at the end of the year. And
he turned the ball over like crazy.
Yeah, bro. And he didn't look very good at the end of the year. It was bad. So that's why I got him at 5. I had to drop him a couple spots because he just – at the end of the year is concerning, I would say.
Yeah.
If I was a Seahawks fan, I'd be a little concerned. And maybe not that – you know, he's still great. And I feel bad. That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like I'm downballing him a little bit too much. But it's a glaring issue, man. if you can't see blitzes and they're blitzing you and I don't know what it is, what year you're in.
He's been in the league forever.
I think it did. I don't know. I just feel like he should see it better. I don't know. Okay. All right. Number four, Tom Brady. I mean,
you're not gonna get much out of me. So, yeah, he won the Super Bowl. Yeah. He's the GOAT, but dude threw three interceptions in the NFC Championship game. Dude threw interceptions galore. We've talked about it on the show before. That first year in the Arians offense is an interception fest. Dude had a loaded roster. Like, everything went as perfect as possible on a five-loss team.
Yeah.
So
see, I think Brady at the beginning of the year wasn't very good on film. I think he was okay. I think he was okay, and I think that's him learning the offense. So I'm a little scared for this year. I think NFL should be scared, because I think the end of the year, even with the three-pick game, I think he ran the offense a whole lot better. And he was a very, very, very efficient in that offense at the end of the year. He's just the quarterback god, bro. He's just, you know, just moving the pocket, subtle this. He's gonna check down when he needs to check down. He's gonna do everything mm-hmm. he needs to. Everything's gonna be on schedule. He's not gonna force mm-hmm. anything, you know. Mm-hmm. So he's still gonna make great decisions, even though the offense is such a throwing downfield offense. You're gonna throw, you know, he's gonna throw picks in it. I do think Brady's accuracy is not as good as the other elite quarterbacks.
He is 43.
Even that, but even before that, I don't think he was the most accurate quarterback in the world. I think he's accurate, but he's just not. He's not Aaron Rodgers accurate. Let's just say that. I think Russell Wilson is more accurate than he is too on a down to down basis. I think he just misses some throws, but you know, it's just the next throw he just, you know, he'll check it down and then somebody get 10 yards because that's just how everything works for him. So, yeah. But yeah, Brady at four, not too much to go into. He's Tom Brady.
No.
Yeah. He's the GOAT. All right. Deshaun Watson at three. He's got his issues outside the field, but last year his tape was awesome.
His numbers were amazing for not having anybody to throw the ball to.
Yeah. Yeah. And he really didn't have anybody to throw the ball to. I don't know if he didn't have anybody to throw the ball to because he had Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks was, he had a good connection with him. I just think he didn't have anybody that could win. Like when he needed somebody to win, there's nobody he could lean on. He used to really lean on Hopkins, and he couldn't lean on Hopkins anymore. Right. So he didn't have that guy to lean on. But I still think that, I mean, he had a really good year. His arm has gotten a lot better too. And I don't know what that's about. I mean, he has some crazy throws. Insane. Yeah. He's extremely accurate. And of course he's the ultimate playmaker. Right. I do think his pocket presence, you know, if I'm going to nitpick at him, I think his pocket presence, he's kind of the same way as Josh Allen a little bit, where like he sees stuff, but it doesn't matter to him. Like, it's like, I'm going to break like eight tackles. So get kicked in the eye. You can't tackle me, you know, type of shit he likes to do. So excuse my language, but, you know, he's just amazing, bro. He has a really great tape, bro. But, you know, he's got his other issues that we don't know. A lot of people won't even rank him on their list. But he's a really, really good quarterback. And I think
he's well on his way. And it sounds like he knows it.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Like, he has a problem. He doesn't check down either. I think he needs to, once he gets better at that and just, you know, get better at playing in structure a little bit. He's not bad in structure. It's interesting. I'm going to point this out before I keep moving. I know we're going on a long time, but it's interesting. It's with him, it's not about not playing in structure. It's like, he's like, I'm going to run this concept. I don't care what pressure that you're giving me. I'm going to break this tackle and I'm going to go right back to it. I'm going to go right back to the concept.
Yes. I know exactly what you're talking about. I know exactly. And I don't, for the life of me, I don't understand why they kept running him to the left. He rolled left more than any quarterback I ever saw in the entire league last year. Why you got a right-arm quarterback going to his left all the time? What is like, that about?
Like he'll have an over route and he'll like he'll break a tackle, move around, and then find the over route where it's supposed to be and just hit it. it's not like he's trying to go somewhere else. He's trying to stay in structure while he breaks tackles. It's just interesting with him. All right, so. That's Deshaun Watson. Three, number two, I got Aaron Rodgers.
Ooh.
At two. Okay. I got Aaron Rodgers at two. I graded Aaron Rodgers higher than obviously who my number one is Patrick Mahomes. So I graded him higher. I did. I graded Aaron Rodgers higher.
You just gave him two because he's an old man. Is that what it is?
kind of. kind of.
Yeah, you did. That's exactly what you did. That's exactly what you did. You did.
I graded him higher because last year his tape was fantastic. Last year, I don't.
I would say. If you take a look at what quarterbacks have done over the past however many ever years you want to look at, what he did last season was historical, in my opinion.
He was really good, bro. He was awesome last year. Awesome tip. He's a damn robot. He's probably the only quarterback, you know, that I've seen that like reads the field like why he's dropping back. Super weird. Like he scans the whole field. You can watch his eyes. Like he's dropping back, and you can watch his eyes on 22. You can watch him. He'll scan the whole field while he's dropping back, and then he'll get to where he needs to go. It's crazy. Like I don't think he made one bad decision on tape. I think the worst decision he made was the Bucs throw
in Tampa. Yeah, the interception to the sideline, the first interception where it wasn't a bad decision. It was just a bad ball. He put it. He was. Yeah. That was the only inaccurate throw he made all season. Yeah, where he put it on the inside shoulder instead of the outside shoulder, and the corner broke on it and pick six. And then the second interception went through the receiver's hands. So, like that, I would agree with you. The only time that I saw Aaron Rodgers actually make a mistake was that out pattern to the sideline.
Yeah, he is literally. I don't think he made a bad decision. He made it every time. Like there's even times with the concepts. I was like, oh, there's go. He's going to go there and it got to be open. And then he goes somewhere else. Like, oh, okay. That's fine. That's better. That's better than I thought you were going to go. Better decision. That's way better than I thought. Like, you're going to go there. Oh no, you're going. Oh, that's better. That's better. Actually better decision than I thought. Okay. So, I mean, he was confusing me too. Like this is what I'm saying. Like his eyes, like, I couldn't watch him. I don't know where he's going with the football. Like his eyes would start over here, but he's really trying to go right over here. Like, and then he would like, and then the guy would be wide open. I'm like, good Lord. It was crazy. So so he was fantastic last year. If he plays like that again, I mean, they're gonna go 13-3 again. Because that was
13-4 this year, Marcus.
Oh, sorry, 14-3. Sorry.
No. See, I'll hit you with it. 13-4.
13-4.
Okay. 13-4.
That's just your prediction. All right. And of course, my number one is Mahomes.
The Super Bowl says enough. Just the way that he threw the ball around in the Super Bowl was literally Superman posed and threw a football from it that should have been a touchdown because it hit his wide receiver in the face. In the face.
See, Mahomes, what I like about Mahomes, which I don't think we talk about, because Mahomes' highlights are all him, you know, running around and doing these playmaking things. We don't talk about how good he is in structure. And I think that's a big thing that we don't talk about. I think all his best throws that I saw last year that I watched on tape were all from him from the pocket. So he is really, really good from the pocket. I don't think he gets a lot of credit for that. How good he is there and how he like moves.
I'll agree with you.
Moves players with, you know, with his eyes, moves linebackers. He does all those things inside the pocket. And his worst games, if you think about this, Chris, the worst games that he's played are the games when he's running around with the chicken with his head off.
Miami.
Right? Miami, he's running around like crazy. The Chargers, the first Chargers game, he's running around like crazy. The Bucs game, right? He's running around like crazy. You can say that's the offensive line, right? But even the Niners game, right? They didn't make him very comfortable in the pocket. He was running around trying to make plays and he was making mistakes. And then, you know, but a lot of teams and why they get burned by him. And I saw this in the NFL executive, you know, ranking. It's like, if you can't let him out of the pocket, and I don't agree with that. I think you should let him, you want to play him where he wants to get out of the pocket to try to make a play. And I think if you get him like into that mood, that's when he starts making mistakes, when he starts throwing across his body and starts doing things like that, is when you get him out of that where he's comfortable in the pocket. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why they got the whole brand new offensive line, because I think Andy Reid knows that if he's in the pocket and he's comfortable and he can go through his reads and stuff, he'll kill everybody. He'll kill
you. You keep him clean? Absolutely.
He'll kill you. He'll kill you.
The crazy thing about Patrick Mahomes is he can throw three interceptions in the game, but the game is still a one-possession game.
I know.
Like, he makes up for it every time.
Yeah.
He showed you that you can be up 24-0, and he's still going to beat you. So what I had anticipated for him coming out of college was that he was going to be more Brett Favre with the interception.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
And he never did it.
This theory, yeah, I'm never going long, but I think these days why people don't throw as many interceptions is because these corners can't catch, man. Everybody's playing wide receiver. Everybody's going to try to play wide receiver as a kid, because I think he threw more this year, especially like the Patriots game.
Wasn't he rated? Was it this season or was it the season before that he had the most dropped interceptions in the league?
It was this past season.
Yeah. So he should have had more interceptions. Oh,
but like the Patriots game is the same thing. They had him running around like he was crazy. It's what I'm saying. I really believe that the way to beat him is to make him
get him out of the pocket, get him into scramble mode.
And I think that's how you beat a lot of these scramble quarterbacks. Sure.
Yes. It's
Russell Wilson, you get him in scramble mode. He's not as good. If Josh Allen, you know, in the Chiefs game, he was in scramble mode the whole game and he didn't play well. I the pocket is king. Let's just end this quarterback thing. Remember, guys, the pocket is king. The best thing that Patrick Mahomes does, every legendary throw you could think of that he made was in the pocket. The wasp play.
Same with Rodgers.
Pocket.
Same with Brady. Same with Ryan.
Yeah.
Same with Stafford.
Pocket.
You go up and down the top 10. You go up and down the top 15. The guys that are going to be successful and are going to be in the league for a long time are guys that are playing from the pocket. Plain and simple. The quarterback position, you're not going to revolutionize it. If you're hurt, and you're going to get hurt playing outside the pocket.
So that's what I'm saying. So reviewing these quarterbacks, I feel like my Zach Wilson evaluation is gonna work out. So he's got to learn how to play in the pocket, and that's, you can't do that in the NFL. You can't. It's hard.
It's very hard. It's very hard to play from the pocket. It is very, very difficult. You've got to be good at it to be elite.
Yeah, 100%. All right, Chris. Last thought. Any thoughts on my list?
I liked your list, Marcus. We had a few moments, but you know, we got our mulligans.
Okay, yeah.
And I really didn't have too much fighting with you when it came to the top 15. There might have been some guys. Some of the spots in 10 through 15 could have just been left blank, and maybe you double up on 16 through 29, but. But no, you got a good list there, man. You got a good list.
I appreciate that, man. To be honest, I think 9 through 15, I would disagree if you put Kyler Murray at 9, but some of those other guys, you just like, if you switch Carr and Herbert, I wouldn't be mad at you. If you put Mayfield at 12 and move some of the other guys down.
Baker could make his way to 10.
I know he could. All right, so we went along again. Hope you guys enjoyed it though.
It's the good stuff. We gave you the off season to relax. Now we're gonna get the new potatoes.
Yeah, we can get some new potatoes. Maybe do some, do a little quick college review next week or something like that. But we're getting into the season now, Chris. We're getting to the season. It's NFL time.
It's NFL time, Marcus. They're reporting.
They're reporting. All right, everybody. Appreciate you guys listening. Make sure you guys hit all the Twitters, ALPA_QB1, ALPA_QB1 on Instagram, Little Pocket Awareness on Facebook. And then, follow us on Twitter, The Mark John NFL, for me at The Mark John and at King Manelos for those. All right, guys, we'll see you later.